A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com. Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Hey everybody, I'm Kim Holderness.
And I'm Ben Holderness, and you're listening to the Holderness Family Podcast.
We are so excited you're here. You guys, if you've seen our videos online, thank you, that's cool too. But yeah. This is our favorite place. This is our favorite thing to do.
And we've been doing it for, what, 3 years now?
I think more than
maybe 4 years. And it continues to be the stress reliever in our life by just taking a second, looking at each other, and talking about our lives. And I'm thrilled that some of you are interested in joining us in this journey. A lot of times it's us. Sometimes we need help. Today, we're probably going to get some help.
Let me tell you, as we sit here and look at each other, I just want to set the scene. I just want to be real honest. I have not showered. I have not yet put a bra on. I just checked I did a little pit check. It might be me I'm smelling right now. So I hope.
I don't smell great either.
Yeah, I hope you feel comfortable as I do right now, because I'm in my winter sweatpants and feeling a little gamey.
If you want to know what they look like, Google lazy pants video or Google libido killer video.
So I wear these sweatpants, except for I take them off during the summer because they're a little warm. It's a little swampy down there right now. And I made a bad choice.
Did you just say what I thought you just said?
I said swampy.
No, then you said down there.
No. Oh, God. That's America.
You did. It's okay.
No, I'm just like down below my, oh God, I almost said below my waist. No, it's just like my legs are swampy right now.
Right.
I should not be wearing fleece sweatpants in June.
You know, why don't we get on to the reviews and the questions? How do you feel about that? First of all, thank you so much for subscribing to this podcast. If you haven't already, it makes a big difference in the way that the aliens who control algorithms serve up our podcast. So thank you for that. And also reviews, Kim, right?
Okay. And this is my most uncomfortable moment of the week, where people say nice things about us and then I have to read it out loud. Kaminsky 2019, you're both so relatable and honest. Thank you for your continued time and effort into putting the show together. Aw. I've learned new things, read new books, and I'm always looking forward to hearing what's next. That is very sweet.
It is.
And it does. So it does take time to put these things together. So thank you for recognizing that effort, even if it doesn't seem like it. I did not shower, but I did prep.
Yeah, you always prep for this. And we didn't super prep for this because we've got an expert who's going to come in. Mm-hmm. But we do, like, there's effort. We have pre-production elements like music that, you know, if someone has a review or a question, we have a song that we can play.
Speaking of questions.
Do you have any questions for us? Here is where we answer them. We will try our best to get to as many questions as we can.
I accidentally played the wrong bit there and then this came back.
It's okay. It's real. It's raw. It's organic.
Yeah. So Melissa from Ithaca, New York.
Left us a voicemail and is our question of the day.
Take it away.
Hi, this is Melissa from Ithaca, New York. I was wondering if you guys could talk about first-time parenting and what your expectations of parenthood is versus the reality of parenthood. My husband and I are about to become first-time parents in about a month, and I'm curious what differences there are between expectations and reality. Thank you. Bye.
How long ago did we get this voicemail?
We got it a little while ago. So, Melissa, you've already had your baby.
Congratulations.
We do go through these voicemails. It takes us a minute sometimes. But that is such a thoughtful question.
Yeah, and it had us taking a trip down memory lane, right? And going back to that point, I think we also realized while we were taking that trip that some of this advice might actually help us now.
Mm-hmm.
But really, I wrote down so just three things of just like right around the moment that the baby arrives that I thought would be different.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought I would run through these and you can let me know what you think, babe.
Yeah.
Does that sound good? I thought it would be gross. That's
you mean
number
the birth
one. I thought all of it was going to be gross from the outside when I saw my friends having babies and I knew that you had to take feces and wipe it and wrap it up and put it in a bag. And the actual childbirth and the red and the fluid and the
Okay, we got it.
Placenta.
Okay, pen stop.
I did like the poopy diapers, the booger suckers. I knew about all these things and I was like, am I going to be able to handle this? I have a gag reflex, right? Also, Pen, shut up. Like your wife is being a rock star here. You need to suck it up and be okay with this. But I will say that you quickly become, and I don't even know if the word is desensitized, because not only is it not gross, it is beautiful. It is, childbirth is, in my opinion, maybe you don't think so.
Childbirth is beautiful. I think when they crap up their back and it explodes out of this, like armpits or their onesies is not beautiful.
Yeah.
But yes, but it's also not like you're like, let's cut it off and throw that one away. Yeah.
I'll say that parents, I think it's just, you quickly become acclimated to it and also just realizing that it's part of life and you're okay with it. And it's funny because you're like that when you have the baby, and maybe Melissa's dealing with this right now. And then now our kids are 12 and we were at a house and there was like a kid who pooped and I was like, oh, it's a poopy diaper. And the dad joked around. He's like, oh, you want to change it? And I was like, no,
no.
Cause then you get out of that.
Yeah.
Out of that. But there's this little bubble you get in when everything's okay.
Mm-hmm.
I thought the biggest problem was going to be keeping my child rested.
Mm-hmm.
I thought that was going to be, we were just all about like, just go to sleep. Just sleep. You need development. Your brain needs development. The biggest problem that I had, and I bet you're the same way, Kim, was forgetting that I needed sleep and keeping myself rested.
Oh, I never forgot. I knew that the kid would sleep. I never had that assumption. But because the kid can pass out anywhere and would sleep eventually, and even if it came slowly, I was always stressed about not getting enough sleep.
And I think you and I are different because you had insomnia and loss of sleep before you had a child. I had never had that before, and even as a dad, I mean, we co-parented pretty well. We took turns waking up in the middle of the night, and I'm not a good night waker.
I was nursing, so you didn't really do like heavy duty.
No, not, but there were times when you stopped nursing, when we took turns, or sometimes it was even like there'd be a night that would be my night. And yeah, again, the mother, it's almost impossible to do 50-50 with the mother when it comes to something like that. But yeah, I did not expect to be clamoring for as much sleep. And I also did not expect that my baby would sleep so well.
Our babies do not sleep well, honey.
They would just fall asleep in the middle of the day. Like,
right,
I'm telling you, like, I didn't realize these things were going to happen. And relatively speaking, I've heard people with real tough times about, like, getting the baby to sleep through the night. And while Lola did not do that instantly, we got to a point, because we had to, where she did start sleeping through the night. And that was a game changer. I thought I would get frustrated easily. I really did. I thought that all of these things that we are discussing would make me cranky and ornery, and maybe it did. But the great equalizer is that when you are a dad, or at least for me, like, you see that kid and that kid smiles at you, or even like accidentally just turns its face up like it's not really smiling, but you think it's smiling, or it, you know, looks at you or just grabs your finger and holds on really tight. There is a switch in your brain where you instantly become a more patient person. And it's funny. I also, let me know if this is making any sense. Isn't there like some genetic thing when you're a newborn parent, the reason that we don't, maybe it's just males, that we don't abandon our child is because it looks like us, or because it's like really cute and it has like a certain eye color, and someone said that there's like it's made to genetically at first look a little bit more like the father than it's going to end up looking, and that's why we're not like every other animal and just like leave our kids. Have you heard this theory?
We should ask an expert about this.
We should. Okay, so those are my three things. But honestly, like, do you feel like you're sort of paddling into an ocean where you need a better navigator here?
Always.
Yeah, that's
always
how we always feel. So this, the good news is we have good friends on this podcast. And one of them, Dr. Hope Seidel, we brought her on during COVID. Mm-hmm. And it was one of our most popular podcasts we've ever had, just about, you know, kids and getting through COVID. We've got her on Zoom right now. She's shaking her head as if that's not true, but it's true.
It's true. It's true. And I feel very, very lucky to call her friend. She is a practicing pediatrician, but also a parenting coach, life coach. You can go to parentwithhope.com and she does one-on-one sessions. And let me tell you, I learn a lot just from every single conversation.
She has no idea why we're calling her.
No
let's,
idea.
Let's hit the open here.
Come on. Let's call up an expert. Because we don't know what we're talking about. Yeah.
All right. We're rocking out.
And she literally does not know why we're calling
no.
her.
No.
This is awesome. I'm ready. I'm sitting here. I got my stethoscope on.
She does. I'm braless and haven't showered. She's already seeing patients.
You
okay,
do
let's
have
do
a
this.
Stethoscope. It's yes. kind of how I would imagine.
Yes,
how a, I would imagine you looking.
She's our person. Okay, go for it, Penn.
All right. So we got a question from a listener, Melissa, who was about to have a child, and she asked us what would our advice be to those about to have a baby. Like, what are some things that you would tell yourself that you didn't know the first time around? And I shared some of the things that I learned as a first time father. I thought it was going to be grosser. I ended up being okay with the grossness. I thought one of the biggest problems would be keeping my child rested. Really, it was about keeping us rested. And then thirdly, I thought I would get frustrated easily. But then I had this like immediate moment when I saw the baby. And it went away. I thought I remember something genetically. And I don't know if you know this, or if it's even true, someone told me that like babies being cute is like an evolutionary way that like we don't abandon our kids because they're so adorable. Have you ever heard that?
Yeah, totally. I usually, when I'm trying to explain to parents later in their kids' lives, the idea of unconditional mm-hmm. love for our kids, I remind them of the feeling that they had when they looked at their child when they were first born and their child had done nothing to mm-hmm. deserve any love at all. That's it. Just loving them immediately from looking at them. That's the kind of love we want to offer our kids forever. And it gets harder the more they speak.
Yes. And honestly, it gets, and I would say also, let's normalize, as a woman who went through, I'm raising my hand here, like postpartum depression and anxiety, I, of course, unconditional love, like would have jumped in front of a train right away. But I was questioning, I'm like, am I doing, like, is this connection? Is this enough? Everybody says it's overwhelming and they have goo-goo eyes right away. But I'm like, am I connected enough? Like, it's not always that instantaneous.
I love that. And I actually think that's probably a pretty good red flag for someone who's not sure if they're struggling when they're noticing a bit of a disconnect. I think that that's a great thing to bring up with your pediatrician or with your, you know, your adult caregiver, because that oftentimes is a good window into how things are going. But yes, the transition is not always amazing in the beginning, right? You're exhausted and you have a lot of normal expectations sometimes in the beginning that I think really can create a lot of doubt. I thought it was going to be is a kind of a lot of things, especially with my breastfeeding parents.
Oh my God.
You know, it's just, I thought this was going to be different kind of thing. And just allowing that it's not 100% awesome in the beginning is okay. You know, I think everyone's like, how is it? Are you so excited? It's so amazing. And especially if you're wrestling with postpartum symptoms or you're just feeling crazy because you're so tired, it's hard to connect with that experience. And sometimes you can feel guilt or doubt that makes things worse.
You just said guilt or doubt. That was going to be my next question, Kim. It's hard, very hard for someone who is a mother and who, you know, believes in their heart that it's your job to be the rock and a steady person to actually bring this up to a doctor, right?
Well, I didn't. Penn was the one, like we sat in a pediatrician's appointment. He's like, I think my wife needs help. So it was really great that I had a very involved partner. Something else you said, which is like the more they talk, the harder it is to love them unconditionally.
That's another podcast, okay?
But I will say the hardest part of parenting for me has been like seeing my kids, even very young, make decisions that I wouldn't.
Oh, yes.
What's up
yes.
with that? Why do they do that? Just do it my way. Just decide the things that I would decide.
And we'll be right back. Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
This is the thing. Okay, the two pieces of advice I usually give, which won't probably be as practical as you're expecting. Okay, the first is when someone is about to have a baby, I always tell them, please just enjoy not being a parent for a little bit. Like, parents spend so much time anticipating it and getting their lists together and all the things, like getting ready and talking about things. And they just don't, they're not present in the moment when they're not parents. Because once you're a parent, your whole life shifts, right? In the most miraculous and difficult and amazing and awful and wonderful way. And there's this really precious time right before that that I think many parents miss because they're in planning mode and not being present. So I always encourage parents to do that in the first moments. And then the second piece of advice I often tell parents, both after and before, is that, you know, our kids are, who they are is already predestined. They're like a packet of seeds that don't have any label, right? And we're planting them. And our job really isn't to give them our journey. It's to pay attention to what we're growing and water that instead of wondering why they're not like we thought they were going to be. Does that make sense?
I just don't think you're aware of how travel basketball works, Hope. I mean, this is, you know what? I'm sorry.
That's such good advice.
No, I have to say,
I remember my first thought when Lola was born, and it was a little traumatic because they're like, oh, it's your first baby, it's going to take forever. And I accidentally waddled into the hospital dilated to 10, so it took 4 minutes. Is that she came out gorgeous, beautiful, and they put her on me. I was like, it's not how I thought she'd look. And I was like, this is different than I thought it was going to be. So, and then the fact that my children are making different choices down, I mean, simple stuff like electives, I'm like, I wouldn't choose that. I wouldn't do that.
Right. The funny thing is that you thought that they were going to make your choice.
Like, yes.
It's actually not weird that they're not, that they're doing that. It's weird that you thought they wouldn't, right?
Yes. I've discovered about myself that maybe I'm a little, I'm diving into like what codependency actually is. I'm like, oh, I think I'm a little codependent.
What do you mean by that?
Well, just like my happiness is a little tied, not just a little, but mostly not in my marriage, but in my, with my kids about like what their happiness and what the decisions they're making, like my life is so intertwined with that I need to, for all of our sake, like unravel that.
Yeah. And look, Hope, that it hit me like a ton of bricks when she just said it's a bag of seeds that you're supposed to water and do all that with. I'm just telling you that we're in this stage of life where like our kids are starting to have real goals and they're going after them themselves, right? We have a high schooler who has like real, like amazing goals that she can attain, but it is so hard to follow that advice that you're giving in this particular season of our life. And I know we're not talking about newborns anymore, but these are all lessons that you're giving to newborns that we need to start practicing as parents of teens.
Listen, it's actually harder, Penn, the other way. Like you trying to like wonder why you're not growing a sunflower and wishing it was when you're growing cilantro is so much harder, right? Mm-hmm. Than paying attention to the flower you're growing and knowing exactly what you're supposed to do. And if you're not paying attention to what you have and you're looking outside in someone else's garden and wondering like, what are they feeding that kid? Like, I want to know what they're doing, but they're growing bamboo when they don't even need to do anything. You know, it's an impossible task. So I think the heart is actually opposite. I think it's so much easier to witness what you have and just pay attention. It's just that we resist that so much as parents because we think our ideas about what our kids should be doing are better. And so it's just a letting go that I think is just the tricky part.
What if we're terrible at gardening in real life? I'm going to show a picture of our backyard.
I love that analogy so much, Hope, because I feel like, yeah, so many parents, you know, like, oh, I have a girl, it's a sunflower and it comes out of the ground, a tomato and right. Like, you know, a tomato that makes these different decisions. But tomatoes are amazing. And perfect. And not
everybody likes tomatoes either. You know what I mean? It is what it is. But absolutely. It's like, oh, that's what I got. Huh. Okay. Yeah. I can do that.
Yeah.
As opposed to just wondering like, it's red. Is it a strawberry? Like, I think I should do this. Our goal is just to feed it and not kill it, Pen. So listen, the answer to your question is that when you think you're killing it is when you ask for support, right? That's the whole thing, right? Yeah. But to me, that's in the newborn period, like just witnessing what you have and paying attention. Parents oftentimes are looking outside themselves to figure out what to do. And the truth is like, even in the newborn period, just circling back to your question, even in the newborn period, you always know your baby better than anyone, even from the first day. And so starting to really work on your self-trust in that way and having people around you who teach you that is the most important.
Yeah. And I think that is, that's where I questioned, I didn't trust myself in the very beginning. I'm like, everybody says I should have these instincts. I have no instincts. I have no idea why she's crying. Like I mentally spiraled there.
Yeah. And even when you're confused now as older kids, like the truth is that you do know your kids. It's just that you get marinating in all this confusion. It's just, you know, it just takes you away.
Yeah.
And so just literally paying attention from the very beginning and not putting pressure on yourself to do any, you know, to be doing perfectly from the beginning is also really, really important. I talk to my parents about that a lot. Like if it feels like a mess, it's going to feel that way forever. So we might as well just really start to settle into that.
I love how you spend so much time helping parents of your patients and to the point where it's like now the, you know, a big priority of the work you do. So how has that been coaching parents?
Well, I think that what I'm learning the longer I'm a pediatrician is that for the most part, children's wellness really depends on the wellness of their parents and the mindset of their parents. And so I find that kids' bodies generally want to be well. I mean, short of some horrible illnesses and COVID and all the things, like there's just, they really want to be well. I love taking care of kids because they're typically pretty well. And so I love working with parents because they're really invested in trying to fix their kids. And the truth is when I bring them back to themselves, their kids get better, right? Their kids are more whole and more available to live the life they're meant to live. And we're not in their way. And so I really love all of it. It's been wonderful. I love it.
It's so common sense too, right? I mean, because it's a partnership. And if doctors, I mean, if you take your kids to 27 checkups a year, which I feel like we do,
that, no, we don't.
No, you know what I mean? Like physicals and then
dentists and all that stuff. Yeah.
But taking that other part in for a tune-up, I don't know why it's a novel idea, but it is. And it seems it makes perfect sense to me. And that's why we brought you on. And I know you've got patients to she literally joined us in between. She's got her stethoscope around her neck. She's about to put it on a child.
Okay. Well, thank you for this.
Thank you.
I think we do need to have you back because I have a lot more questions about the trust in myself. Like we're not doing the things that other parents are doing. And I'm like, oh crap, should I be doing that? So that's a separate podcast. We're going to have you back.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
I would so love that. That's my favorite topic about managing your kids' emotions and managing yours. Yeah. Let's do it.
Okay.
I love it.
Thank you, Hope. Love you.
Thank you. And real quick, just to sum up, our child is a plant.
That's right.
Is the title of this podcast.
Seed.
Our child is a seed.
Well, we're going to.
But at this point, our child's a plant.
Okay.
And I'm going to break it. Next podcast, I'm going to break it down better.
Okay,
for you.
Good. Okay. Good.
Okay.
Good.
Bye.
Bye. Okay, so again, we didn't tell her we were calling her, and she just nailed that. Like, that was what I needed
to hear. She has become a friend,
yeah.
And she is a mother, and she has two children. Her youngest just graduated from high school, and her children are the most well-adjusted, lovely human beings, and you have to look at her as a leader and be really, you're like, God, what is she doing?
Yeah.
So I do get some free consult. I probably should pay her for the advice that I have her give me. No, but
why would you do that if you can do it for free and put her on a podcast? Have you not figured this out yet? Like what
this
we're
podcast,
doing?
Podcast, you guys.
It's a shakedown. Like all we do is get our friends to give us advice
for
free.
We don't know. We're like, wow, you guys are super impressive. Let's see if we can get them on to get free advice. You guys have learned what it is.
Yeah.
And then we share that free advice with you.
That's right.
And then I have to say, there are plenty of people, and we have many in our life who have chosen not to have children. And I celebrate that decision too, because parenting, it's no joke. But I was having this conversation with somebody who has chosen to be childless. And, you know, this person lives a wonderful, wonderful, happy, happy life. You know, hashtag no regrets. And she was like, you know, I never babysat. I was never into kids. I was just never, that's just nothing ever I wanted to do. I was like, you know what? I didn't really babysit either. I wasn't super into kids. And I did say, I was like, well, I think I like my kids. I don't know if I'm in, I love children.
Yeah.
I would jump in front of a bus for any child, but I'm not the one at parties that hangs out at the kids' table.
Right.
You know what I mean? So
no, you're not.
No, I like some grown-ups.
You also, I mean, I remember the conversation that we had when we were looking into having kids. We got married when we were in our upper 20s, so we weren't like a super young couple. I think we got married maybe a little later than some of our friends, but right around the same time as a lot of people get married.
30, yeah.
And we were living in New York. I think I was the one who brought up, let's have kids. I don't know if that's normally the way that it happens. And you were not averse to the idea, but you certainly were looking to follow some of the tenets that Hope put out, which is like, let's enjoy being married for a while. And I think I was like, why? Dude, I'm ready. Let's like, I want to be a dad. I want a little thing running around. And at that point, just talking about it, I think impregnated you.
I know.
Like it happened.
We like literally shared a fork and I got pregnant.
Yeah. And I would never change a thing, but you know, looking back on it, particularly now that I've seen what happens firsthand when you get pregnant, I understand why you wanted to have some time to have control over. I mean, cause you lose control of your body almost immediately when you're pregnant. I did not.
I think that, I obviously it was the best decision that we ever made. And I have to say, like, we genuinely love being around our kids. I remember there was a time people online kind of made fun of me, like, cause in The Amazing Race, I cried leaving our kids and they're like, oh, it's only a month. I'm like, but a month not being able to talk to your kids. Like we really, really love our kids, but it is not for the weak. I would never discourage somebody from doing it. But I also, if somebody knows in their heart that this is not a journey for them, I celebrate that too, because it's hard, man. And again, it's so funny. I thought like, oh, once the kids sleep through the night, I won't have to worry anymore. Are you kidding? That's when the worrying starts. We are blessed with some great kids though.
Do you remember the actual, because just going back to Melissa's voicemail, do you remember the months leading into it? And I know that I wasn't working as much when you were pregnant. I was working some, but I was preparing more for that than I have for anything else in my life. And so were you, but you were working while this was happening. And I was scared at times. Like there was an incident with a fish that happened while we were in Melissa's boat and we were expecting a child, where we were like, let's get a fish and we'll care for that. And cause we hadn't had a dog and we'll just practice. And we killed the fish inside of about 2 weeks. And then for just a second, we were like, what does this say about our parenting? And then we went to the doctor and the doctor was like, it's a fish.
We didn't go to a fish doctor, by the way.
No, I know. No, we went to your...
It was like a beta fish. It was like a...
We went to your doctor. It's my fault. I didn't put it in the right environment. But I just remember being... I guess this whole story is to say I was scared a lot. And it's funny. I went back and I actually documented this in a Lola pregnancy book that was just, it wasn't a book, but it was a collection of emails I sent to everyone who knew we were pregnant. And then our friend Julie actually put it into a book. And every email was like part excitement, but also just like abject fear on my side. I don't know if you remember that at all.
I think that's just normal. I think that's just super, super duper normal.
I guess that's what I'm trying to say to Melissa, because going back to her question, like, what's your advice? Maybe I would just say, like, being a little scared is definitely okay.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, so now comes the part of our podcast where we jump around to different topics.
It's our segment.
Segment.
Funny TikTok videos that she's rocking, scarves for her necklines and dresses with pockets, stuff she discovered and joy that it brings. These are a few of Kim's favorite things.
Okay, but instead of Kim's, this is Penn's.
Well, we can both do it.
Yeah, I don't know if I have a favorite thing.
You don't have a favorite thing?
This week.
So, my favorite thing this week may be a bit controversial, but just, like, bear with me. It's John Mulaney. John Mulaney is a stand-up comedian who went to rehab and had a falling out with his wife. And, you know, he says he is an adult comedian. But we went to see him in concert about a week ago. And I'm a huge fan of stand-up. I was like so blown away by the brutal honesty and how much he revealed about some parts of his life that I know are difficult to talk about.
Yeah. Yeah. I didn't know a lot about him. I'll admit, I knew he was a comedian and a writer for SNL. I didn't really know anything about his life.
Me neither.
But we have very good friends who, it was very sweet. They had other friends they invited who needed to back out. And we were like the backup friends. By the way,
being a backup friend.
We will be your backup friend.
Yeah.
Yeah. And we'll go.
I think there have been some weddings that we've been invited to because like a couple of people canceled and they needed to fill out a table at the last minute.
And then they tell us and we're like, that's fine. We'll go.
Yeah. No hard feelings.
No, I get it. Weddings are terrible like that. So he talks about in a very hilarious way, his intervention and rehab and found a way to make the tragedy of it all very funny. But as somebody who has, we have participated in an intervention or two for other people and have tried to see people through the rehab experience, it really did give me perspective from that side.
Yeah.
And how traumatic that is.
He started talking about it and I was like, okay, I don't know how he's going to get through this without either skipping a bunch of the parts and that way it doesn't land, or bumming everyone out. And he somehow managed to toe the line and send a really positive message across at the end while also making me laugh at an intervention.
Yeah.
Isn't that nuts?
Vulnerability can be funny.
It really can. Do you remember I'll just end with this. The thing that he said, and he gave this advice, it's so funny. He was talking to a 12-year-old the entire time on the third row.
I know. Like, somebody brought their 12-year-old to the show. There's a lot of foul language.
Like, hey, Dayton, like, don't do any of these things that I'm doing, but there's a lot of other people here and we've got to talk about it. I'm not sure why you're here, but here we go. And he gave this advice at the very end of the show. And this is the reason I brought him up, which is that true happiness comes internally. There's no external thing that can bring you true happiness. And I think that's something that they probably tell addicts when they try to find happiness somewhere else.
I've seen that on a poster.
Yeah, maybe.
And it's like, I'm like, yes, I agree with you. But then, I mean, dang it. Don't we all look for that external validation?
Yeah. Also money.
Yeah.
Money is external. Like we chase that. We chase success. We chase material things. And I've heard it before, but it landed after hearing everything that he said. And I don't know. I went there expecting kind of an immature comedian and I got this accidentally got a life coach when I was there.
Yeah. I agree. That was pretty great. I'm trying to think what some of my favorite things.
Do you want me to help you out?
Yeah.
I'm not going to tell you what your favorite things are.
No, but what have I liked least?
Well, you've seen the first episode, and we're going to binge this.
Of Stranger Things. So.
And I know I could tell you liked it when we watched it. And guys, I know we're so behind here, but I want you to imagine how you felt watching it for the first time. That's us right now.
So our daughter watches it, and it's been on. So I know it's been on. Like, she'll watch it downstairs because she's like me. She can't watch it at night by herself. So it's on in the living room and I'm doing 20,000 things. So I actually sat down. But I'm 12 and I cannot watch anything scary before bed.
Right.
So, and then how can I watch stuff in the middle of the day? So I'm limited to like a Sunday afternoon watch. So I have like 1 hour on Sunday.
Hang on. I think you can, I'm going to give you permission to watch stuff in the middle of the day. I could go pick the kids up. We got summer coming up here. We don't have to carpool as much. You can just disappear for 40 minutes and watch a weird show.
Can I, but I want to watch it with you.
I'll watch it with you. That's the whole point.
Oh, I have another favorite thing. Duh. We went and saw Hamilton last night.
Oh, yeah.
Hamilton came through. Hamilton, the production of Hamilton is in Durham at the Durham Performing Arts Center. And we did see it originally in New York, not the original cast. So we've seen it before. Man, it slaps. It was awesome. If Hamilton comes through your community, I would 10 out of 10 recommend going seeing it.
I've now watched the HBO Max or Disney Plus or whatever bit where the original cast was there, and you got a real feel for what that was like. I think that was sort of similar to listening to the original soundtrack, which we've done 1,000 times. You and I both together watched in New York with our family several years after the original cast had left. So there was that bit. And then this was the travel tour that we got to see, which was sort of the third iteration. And I've seen enough of it that I can make some proclamations about Hamilton.
Let's see. Let's hear.
Let's start with this. That musical will be airing on spaceships when we're orbiting Saturn 500 years from now.
1,000%.
It will hold up forever. And the people who wrote it and the originals who performed it and for whom it was written will be immortalized. 100%. It is never going to get old. And I almost like it more every time I see it. So that's one. Number two, mm-hmm. And this is like, we talked about this last night, Kim, you and I, they redefined what a triple threat is. Mm-hmm. Do you remember, like, you're a performer. You remember like a great triple threat on Broadway is someone who can dance, sing, and act. And if you can do all three of those, you are kind of a unicorn, because it is hard. Mm-hmm. You can be classically trained to sing but not be a great rapper. You can have great rhythm and beats but not really know how to sing. And then acting is its own separate deal. Sing, dance, and act. Hamilton has changed it where the triple threat, the most of the dancing is the chorus, but for most of the principals, you have to be able to act, rap, and sing. And that's never been the case before. And I'm realizing when I watch the travel shows and the shows in New York that like finding someone who can do all three of those is almost impossible. And you can tell after having seen like people who are good at it when, okay, this person is doing all of these things, but maybe isn't that strong of a rapper, or this person is a really good rapper, but they don't know how to sing. It's just a whole new level of difficulty that only Hamilton has presented in this space.
You can do all those things, babe.
I can't really act. I can sort of act. You're a better actor than me. There's a reason.
I can act like myself. So we do these sketches and I can act like myself.
Yeah.
Which is like an annoyed mother. It comes very naturally.
Yeah, I guess that's true. I mean, my only acting experience was as Riff Raff, and I don't know that I nailed that. It was very uncomfortable to me, maybe until the last week, being able to act like somebody else. I'm with you. I think I'm better off. Like if someone asked me to be Weird Al Yankovic or Dick Van Dyke, like those are people that I can take parts of my personality and plug into whatever it is that I'm doing. But it was weird acting like an alien, which is what my role was. Mm-hmm. I was thinking when we were watching Hamilton, like which role I would want to do if I could do any of them.
The king.
No.
Who?
Everyone thinks that because I'm white.
And that's your voice more like most similar, I think, to that.
Yeah, that may be the thing I'm best suited for.
Okay,
I want to be Lafayette and Jefferson.
Oh, yeah.
That is, first of all, the like David Diggs. He wrote it for David Diggs. That rhyme scheme is so intensely difficult. And he attacks it with so much comfort. I've never seen anyone since David Diggs nail that part. But he and I, this is going to sound crazy coming from a white 47-year-old guy, but we have similar rap traits.
Yeah.
Like a lot of swing in the way that we rap. And also he was just all smiles and charisma for both of those roles.
Yeah.
So like, that's the one I would want to play. I don't know if I'd be most equipped for it, but it's my favorite role. And it's the one that I think I identify with the most, like more so than the king.
thank you for our last week or 2 weeks ago. We did a Top Gun review, and this is just our theater review. Welcome.
I'm sorry. That was your favorite thing, and I jumped right in.
No, you did. I love it.
What would your role be?
Definitely like backup dancer, like support staff.
You know, you could do that right now. You're such a good dancer. I could.
If Hamilton, if you're looking for a 46-year-old middle-aged mom to be backup dancer, I sign up. I accept.
Do you know how like our USTA, like our tennis groups, they have a 40-plus division?
Yes, they should do a 40-plus Hamilton.
We might even be able to make that, because if they could do an old person's Hamilton.
We're not old. We're not old.
Well, you know what I mean. But just sort of we could have our own division.
And honestly, for the really intense rap, they would be subtitles up so people could see. Because we took my dad and my stepmom, and they loved it. They loved it, but they had no exposure to what it was. She's like, I couldn't understand a lot of the words, but I got the gist. And it's a lot. It goes fast.
I thought about suggesting that they just get the soundtrack because it's so wonderful, the original soundtrack. But I don't know. Yeah. They probably have other things they need to do.
Okay. You guys, thank you for spending time with us.
Yeah.
I really appreciate you.
And thank you, Dr. Seidel.
And it's Parent with Hope. I'm looking at the website right now. And she's just a gem.
Yeah.
And if you need, as a parent, if you feel like you just need a sounding board, I do know that she's worked with people like as a life coach that aren't parents. So I think she does that stuff too. 10 out of 10 recommend. Okay.
All right. Let's go water our plants.
Yes, and see what we get. Do we have cilantro? I love cilantro. If I got some cilantro, I'd be thrilled. Because you know some people think that cilantro tastes like soap. There's like a weird gene. Okay, Penn's ignoring me. Love you.
Bye.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello? Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
When you make decisions for your company, you look for the no-brainers. And if you have a lot of mailing to do, Stamps.com is the ultimate no-brainer. It streamlines your processes to make your business more efficient, which makes you less busy. Mail checks, invoices, legal documents, and everything you need to keep your business running with Stamps.com. Seamlessly connect with every major marketplace and shopping cart. Schedule package pickups and see your cheapest and fastest shipping options from different carriers. With rates up to 89% off USPS and UPS rates. And with the Stamps.com mobile app, you can take care of mailing and shipping wherever you are. Make the same no-brainer decision as over 1 million other businesses with Stamps.com. Sign up with code PROGRAM for a 4-week trial, plus free postage and a free digital scale. No long-term commitments or contracts. That's Stamps.com. Code PROGRAM.